The Commodore referred to his dwelling place as a house. The populace undoubtedly would call it a palace. To Mallow's straightforward eyes, it looked uncommonly like a fortress. It was built on an eminence that overlooked the capital. Its walls were thick and reinforced. Its approaches were guarded, and its architecture was shaped for defense. Just the type of dwelling, Mallow thought sourly, for Asper, the well-beloved. A young girl was before them. She bent low to the Commodore, who said, "This is one of the Commodore's girls. Will she do?" "Perfectly." The Commodore watched carefully while Mallow snapped the chain about the girl's waist and stepped back. The Commodore snuffled, "Well, is that all?" "Will you draw the curtain, Commodore?" "Young lady, there's a little knob just near the snap. Will you move it upward, please?" "Go ahead, it won't hurt you." The girl did so, drew a sharp breath, looked at her hands, and gasped, "Oh!" From her waist as a source, she was drowned in a pale, streaming luminescence of shifting color that drew itself over her head in a flashing coronet of liquid fire. It was as if someone had torn the aurora borealis out of the sky and molded it into a cloak. The girl stepped to the mirror and stared, fascinated. "Here, take this." Mallow handed her a necklace of dull pebbles. "Put it around your neck." The girl did so, and each pebble, as it entered the luminescent field, became an individual flame that leaped and sparkled in crimson and gold. "What do you think of it?" Mallow asked her. The girl didn't answer, but there was adoration in her eyes. The Commodore gestured, and reluctantly, she pushed the knob down, and the glory died. She left, with a memory. "It's yours, Commodore," said Mallow. "For the Commodore. Consider it a small gift from the Foundation." The Commodore turned the belt and necklace over in his hand as though calculating the weight. "How is it done?" Mallow shrugged. "That's a question for our technical experts. But it will work for you without, mark you, without priestly help."
"Well, it's only feminine frippery, after all. What could you do with it? Where would the money come in?"
"You have balls, receptions, banquets, that sort of thing?"
"Oh, yes."
"Do you realize what women will pay for that sort of jewelry? 10,000 credits at least." The Commodore seemed struck in a heap.
"Ah.
And since the power unit of this particular item will not last longer than 6 months, there will be the necessity of frequent replacements. Now, we can sell as many of these as you want for the equivalent in wrought iron of 1,000 credits. There's 900% profit for you."